Mr. Thompson, what's it like to be demented? Suing folks like Rockstar Games with claims that you've invented. Yes, it's true. Even went after Kotaku. Those guys owned you. Hey, Mr. Thompson, it looks like you've been busy sending porn to judges, suing Coke for being fizzy. Why stop there? Go get whoever does your hair. It's a solar flare. Oh, please get some therapy.
Have you or someone you know been seriously injured or killed? Blame the game. Have you been hurt on the job and need cash now? Blame the game. Mr. Thompson can get you the money you deserve from the evil video game companies who are no doubt responsible for virtually everything that goes wrong. Don't compromise. Blame the game. Unexplained weight gain? Blame the game.
I was feeling sorry for myself when my wife ran off with an Italian plumber, but Mr. Thompson told me to blame the game, so I'm suing Nintendo for $1 billion.
Divorce. Bankruptcy, repossession. Blame the game. Indigestion, maniacal shootings, diabetes. Don't wait. Call today. And no matter what happens, remember, always blame the game.
How about you let me decide which games my kids should be denied? And you go sue the parents, not the games. Cause every time you sue Rockstar and act so righteous and bizarre, they sell 1 million copies of the game. You're to blame.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
And welcome to episode number 86 of Evil Avatar Radio here at 1170 WACV. I want to thank SarcasticGamer.com for that little parody song. That's their latest. We've used them many.
Great.
We've used them many times, but yeah, that was a good one. That's actually, there's a lot more to that song, but I cut it down because it was like 4 minutes long, so I knocked it down to the two. Save some of the best parts in there.
But we don't have time for that.
No, we don't.
We don't have time
it's
for
serious.
4 minutes of stuff, man. Podcasts are serious business.
Welcome back to the show, by the way. Missed you last week. Did we? I don't know. Maybe.
Nah. were you
oh,
not
me?
Here?
Yeah, you.
Huh? No, I wasn't here.
No, he was sick.
I was sick.
Nastiness. So yeah, welcome back to the show. We got everybody in here now. We got Jeremy, Dennis, James, Zilla's in the phone booth.
Dana Zilla.
Soulless Toast. She goes by many names. Yeah. Oh, you're grabbing your food. I thought you were reaching for the mic.
Some of those names aren't what you would call classy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Did you see the picture?
I did see the picture.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, she can't use that name on Xbox. It was weird because we were looking at Xbox Live. We were looking at our band leaderboards, and we're trying to figure out, because it shows the band names, and we're trying to figure out, okay, who is on my friends list that is having this band name? So we'd go into there, and it shows you the names of the people, not the Xbox Live gamer tags of the people, but the whatever, you know, the names of the people who were actually inside the band that you created and the names that you gave them. So we're trying to figure it out, and so we go to ours, and Leroy McJenkins, we look at it, and it's only got me, which is McBangin. It doesn't have Mick, yeah, the singer. She's not in there. So, anyway, welcome to another episode of Evil Avatar Radio. You know, I don't even know where to start. Well, let's start with what we played this weekend. Jeremy, we'll start with you.
Nothing this weekend, but last
week I played
Galaxy.
Dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And last weekend, yeah, we talked about that on the show, the extra content of the show last week.
Yeah.
That you played any? Do you haven't yeah. any played anymore?
Oh yeah. I played during the week mostly.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of good, you know, Galaxy time in last week. I'm very, very close to wrapping it up.
I was going
to
say, you must be getting close.
I could just jump to the you know, meet at the end of the game because I'm ready, but there's all this other stuff on the side I haven't done yet, and I want to do everything before I beat it and watch the
completest.
Ending.
Completest.
So, yeah.
And,
on this game anyway.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, that's probably the way I'm going with it as well. That's the way I've gone with it so far, but I'm not very far into it. I've gotten the first, I've done the first observation tower or whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And now I've got the second one opened up and, you know, haven't done much with that yet, so.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting all the stars before you go to
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. definitely. I'm trying to get everything that I can do within that one realm and then move on to the next one before doing any more, so.
That's a good way to play.
Yeah, you know, it's...
On that game, yeah.
Well, it's the same way I play almost in every game. If I can do that one little bit of section, if I can get that done and get that out of the way, then I'll move
on. Each level has like its own little version of fun for you to, you know, taste and try out. So I hate overlooking any of it. It's also good.
So just in relation to it, yeah, I'm the kind of guy that eats one thing on my plate. Exactly. I'm that guy, you know. It's like if I got steak and fries and whatever else on there, it's just one thing at a time. That's all I mean, you know. That's
which way do you go? I'm like a potatoes, then green beans, then the pork chops kind of guy.
Yeah,
some people are the pork chops, then the green beans, then the potatoes.
I'm a fry guy first. Like if I get fries in there, it's those little finger foods first.
Right.
And then
I try to eat everything equally so that when I'm done,
dumb.
I've got one bite left of each thing.
Yeah, that's really dumb. I'm sorry.
You're dumb.
No, I'm not.
You're a foul.
No. I eat the right things in the right order. I enjoy them completely, unsullied by any other foods that may be near them, but hopefully not touching.
Otherwise, it's lost. It's gone.
Yeah.
Don't eat them.
It's much more of a challenge to actually ration it out and think about it and, you know.
Nope.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Got to get a webcam in here. Because if I'm enjoying watching this, I'm sure everyone else would be as well. Especially during some of the parts where you guys just stare at each other and don't say anything.
Are we supposed to talk about games on this show?
We could, you know. That's one of our topics.
I was kind of hoping that whole plate thing would wind up being like a clever metaphor, but it was really just, I eat better than you do.
I eat better than you do. Oh, there's
I think
so many
you
ways
had,
you can go
think,
with that.
I think you had sort of wrestled it into being a metaphor, and then I just sort of broke it free. I was like, no. No. I'm not going to let you have a clever metaphor tonight. I'm just going to talk about food.
UW Crash says, I'm with Fishbang, unless you're talking about cafeteria food.
I can't get into the chat room. I don't know.
Yeah, we're all in there.
You'll have to
you
tell
can.
Me what they're saying.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you what they're saying. It's exactly what I'm doing. So anyway, Dennis, what did you play anything this weekend? Did you picked up Galaxy yet?
No, not yet.
The hell is wrong
with
you?
And don't let them talk to you like that. I still haven't picked up Mass Effect, but instead of like citing any real world issues, just tell them that you're like playing other things and you're like saving, you know, the savory experience for later to continue the.
Considering that's the only experience you've got right now, I guess you could be savoring that for later.
Yeah,
it's going to be a cold winter without anything to play for you.
Yeah, I'm just
playing through 12.
Think
right
about
now.
It. Know that. 12. Know that later on, there's you know, like nothing to do, and that you'll have this like affirmed wonderful experience waiting for you.
Exactly.
It's just so odd of you though, because normally whenever we go around the room, and we've talked about this before, you know, what have you played? And it's the latest Wii game. Usually, you're halfway through or have beaten it. At this point, but yeah, haven't even picked up Galaxy.
No, not yet. I mean, I want it bad, but
yeah. How far have you gotten in Rainbow Chronicles?
Umbrella Chronicles.
Umbrella Rainbow Chronicles. Sorry, we were having a good discussion earlier, so it kind of slipped.
I have not beaten it all the way. I finished all the main scenarios. But I'm still working on a lot of the extra stuff right now. All right,
cool. I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from, Rainbow Chronicles.
Shows what you think about Resident Evil, huh?
I guess so. Zilladan, anything in there with you? I know we played some Rock Band.
Played Rock Band with you.
Right.
Started Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
when did you do that?
Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't get very far.
Yeah, well.
Because I had to rock.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You have to get past the part that isn't any good.
Okay.
They keep all the good stuff after that part.
Okay.
That's like the first hour.
I'm not there yet.
It is. It's a long tutorial. You know, it's a long thing of like, okay, do this, now attack this guy. You're in the little, whatever, the blue room. The imaging chamber is what I call it. But yeah, so. All right, and you want to tell us real quick what you did since we last spoke with you? What have you played? World of Warcraft, obviously.
I played my druid and kept hacking away at Assassin's Creed. That's been a really good game for me to spend a little bit of time with, walk away from, come back to.
Mm-hmm.
I find that I'm still not even remotely in line with really any of the complaints I've read about the game. I can sort of acknowledge that what people are saying is true. I'm just simply at a loss for why it's a bad thing, but whatever. It, you know, there's all kinds of different tastes in the world, and there's no accounting for them, so that's perfectly fine. But it's very, very good for me because anything you do in that game, it saves the game. Like, mm-hmm. you do a thing, it helps you out wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You know the next step, you know, even if it's something that you're aware of, relatively speaking, you know, that you're going to go listen, sit on a bench and listen to these people.
Right.
Talk about whatever. It's still there. It's still fun. You know, I'm still going to get to, you know, schnickety schnick, stab some people. It's awesome. I haven't gotten tired of it. I love it. But I can go do something. I can either, you know, run an entire section of a city all the way through to the assassination. Or I can, you know, do everything but the informer missions. Or I can look for some flags. And at any point, all I have to do is do something. And then I can walk away. Game saved. I feel comfortable. I know where I am. You know, I like it. It's a really, really good game for me, for someone in the position I am, where I don't
right.
ever really get that that 6 or 8 hour stretch on a day off, or that continuous stretch every evening after work to really plow through a game's story like I've had a tendency to do more of. And I found that this is actually a lot more fun. My interest doesn't wane at all, and I have this anticipation for whatever small bit of fun I'm going to get out of the game. And I don't have to have a lot to experience that. I can pop in. I can do any number of things and still, you know, feel like I've spent some time with it. I always walk away wishing I was able to do more. But, mm-hmm. you know, some of the things that you have to do are fairly, you know, you have to really commit yourself to an assassination. It isn't something that you necessarily do offhandedly. So I save that for when I have a little bit more
yeah.
time. But because it's going to throw you right into a major, you know, story thing. So, that I mean... It's just been really good for me. That's mostly, you know, outside of my MMO time, that's what I've been spending.
How many kills have you got on your belt so far?
I'm like on my fifth, I think.
Fifth one? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to get to the end of that thing.
I will, but I'm not going to rush it.
No. Fine.
I'm not. I'm going to do this for a while until my, you know, until the real world schedule cooperates a little bit more. I think I'm going to save Mass Effect for the top of the year, as weird as that sounds. Even coming out of my own mouth, having anticipated it more above
yeah.
anything else, I actually don't have any drive to play it right now because I know exactly what would happen, and it would make me angry. I would never be able to play it the way I wanted to. So that's the sort of thing that I need to play, you know, like lay out great whacks of time to just play that game. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed, like I'm saying, has worked itself out very well to be something that I do an hour here, an hour there.
We talked about it on the extra content of the show last week, although, unfortunately, we talked about the Assassin's Creed ending, so it was a lot of spoiler stuff for a lot of people who probably didn't listen to that part. But I was talking about how I really haven't played a lot of Mass Effect because it's hard for me to quantify my time spent in there. It's like Assassin's Creed. I can jump in, do a couple of things, jump out.
Yeah.
COD 4, I can jump in, maybe level up, maybe get halfway, whatever the case, jump out, Uncharted,
right.
complete a chapter, you know, that sort of thing. Mass Effect doesn't give me that. It's almost like, well, I need to go to the next achievement.
Right.
And then that kind of signifies...
Like a book without chapters.
Yeah. It really
is. If
you've
ever read a book that's laid out like that,
yeah.
with no chapters, it's a very, very strange thing because you don't really know where to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, except for certain rare instances, you need to be able to walk away from an experience or from a fiction every
yeah.
now and then. So, yeah, I can see it being that kind of game.
So, yeah, that's the boat I'm in. I played, I finished Uncharted this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Went ahead and wrapped that up. And then
how you feel about it?
Love it.
All told.
Love it. Sent
Excellent.
An email to Neil Druckmann, who was on the show a couple weeks back. Sent an email to him, and I said, God, congratulations, man. You made a great game. Tell everybody there, congratulations. It was just, it was a lot of fun. Loved every bit of that game. Even the stuff that, you know... some people were on the fence with.
Like, uh-huh.
There's some stuff in there that people were like, well, I love the game, but I didn't like that part. I was fine with all of it, especially once I got through with everything. I kind of looked back and I said, you know what? That didn't ruin it for me. That actually was great, and I loved every bit of that game. That's a wonderful game. So if you get a PS3, that is a game you need to look into getting, is Uncharted. Great game. So finished that up, played COD 4, played rock band. Played a bit of Boom Boom Rocket. I went in and downloaded Boom Boom Rocket from the arcade, and that's kind of like a little relaxing thing. Just a little rhythm, press the buttons as the arrows come up type thing. Nothing that, you know, it's an easy little calm down, relaxing type thing that I can do after I'm, you know, pissed at playing COD 4 and getting shot and stabbed and whatever else happens. Finally got my P90, though.
Did you?
Yeah. Got up to 40, got my P90. So.
You know what I found? It was very strange for me, just as an aside, in reference to that game. Ever since I started picking up P90s, like, right after we started playing and people were getting up high enough to drop them,
mm-hmm.
I really wanted one. I really, really wanted one. And after I had spent enough time to really just get good at the majority of the play styles and just be a decent player, I found that essentially an M16 with a red dot sight does it for me every time.
Mm-hmm.
The very first weapon, you know, the very first really, really good gun that you have access to that I couldn't wait to be rid of while I was leveling.
Yeah.
And the first very good, you know, piece of add-on equipment that you can get for it. Like, those things actually, that's my bread and butter now. I just thought it was really, really funny. Like, that I spent all of this time wanting better and better and better guns. And ultimately, I just go back to, you know, what turned out to be all the way around the best weapon in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was strange. Not that I don't like my P90.
Yeah. Do you double tap on your M16 or no?
You mean the perk?
Yeah.
Double tap? No.
Okay. I was just curious. I didn't know because
some people do. I just don't like, I don't like eating that particular perk slot up with double tap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what I usually keep in there, but it's usually bullet penetration, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I get a lot of, I'm fairly accurate at, you know, like reading what somebody's doing behind a wall. So I get a fair number of kills, you know, through structure.
And I wish, you know, they talked about it, God knows how long, about a patch coming. I wish they'd hurry up and get that thing out for COD 4, especially because of, you know, your party leader wants to leave.
Yeah,
and you got to reassemble the group, and there's a couple other.
It's very frustrating.
Problems. Yeah,
it's really frustrating if you want to get out there and you really just want to run maybe half a dozen maps and then go to bed, and it's extremely hard because a lot of times if there's a lot of that, you know, bouncing around and rooms closing,
mm-hmm.
it takes you really twice as long to do what you want to do. If that factor wasn't there, you could probably just have twice as much gameplay.
Right.
As you do. You wouldn't sit around and wait so much or suffer under someone else's leaving, you know, which is not necessarily, I mean, it's not their fault. You know, you gotta
no,
go.
No, but it's the way that they built the game lobby. So, I don't know. I hope that patch hurries up and gets here.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see. So, and, I did play a little bit of that this week.
You meant to or you did?
No, I did. I played
cool.
a very little bit. Got like another level. You know, I'm in like my mid-40s somewhere.
Yeah.
The thing that had the most impact on me this week, though, was playing Bioshock. I had lent it out to, like, a couple of different people to play it, and I finally got it back. I'd gotten real insistent about getting the copy back since they released the content. I started a new game on hard because I hadn't beaten it on hard, and I always said that I'd probably go back and slog through it. So I started a new game on hard, disabled the Vita Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the added benefit of doing that. But I was, you know, I don't want to seem petty, but it is so much more enjoyable with the FOV unlocked, with it being close, whatever it is at now. I'm not even sure what the actual count is, but being at like 90 or close to 90 instead of 70.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it was, it feels like I can breathe playing that game. The field of view is so much wider and so much more comfortable. Doesn't feel zoomed in. I don't feel like my viewpoint is detached from where my body, you know, my head should be.
Yeah.
Like, and I couldn't ever shake that feeling in the other game. I didn't really have, I was never really drawn into the discussion about the widescreen issues. I always understood it to just be a strange FOV issue, but it felt comfortable and it felt like I could really sense the environment a lot better, more like, you know, a PC game always felt. So It was actually really, really cool. It was a striking impact for me. It was a big difference.
Cool. Yeah,
but I'd forgotten how important that soundscape in that game had become to me. Like, it's been a long time, you know, since I had all those songs stuck in my head.
Pretty much, what, August, September type?
Yeah, it was like September. I was looking at my saves, mm-hmm. and it was sometime mid-September. And, you know, I started it back up and, like, let it do its thing, and I was like, man, this really is a really, really good game. Like, it's just really, really good.
Yeah.
I know what's coming around every corner, but it's really good. The first time you hear the little sister, you know, singing her creepy little teddy bear song, you know, you hear the metal fatigue and the metal stress as you're getting deeper in the water. You hear the radio, you hear the music. It was all great. I was just like clear of any of the anticipation, clear of the hype, having beaten it, walked away from it for a couple of months and just come back to it to look at it again. It stands up.
Well,
I still think the ending stinks, but.
Well, it won one game of the year from Spike TV.
Well, and let me tell you, that's an authority that I would trust, you know, with pretty much any decision. I just, those guys, I mean, absolutely, whatever they think.
And it won best score. It took them a lot of awards from that thing, but yeah, BioShock was up there. Anyway, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's coming out for the week, your weekly releases, and we'll go over more news as well. It's all coming up next here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. BioShock music there. I believe it won an award at the Spike thing, but oh well, who cares. Congratulations to them for winning an award. I don't know if they're...
Yeah, the people who watch that show still won't play your game.
Exactly. They did have
Unless
some...
they add a skateboard to the DLC next time.
Yeah, Big Daddy's on skateboards and BMX
Which,
bikes. And
sadly, isn't an... That's not an unentertaining thought. Big Daddy's on skateboards.
Yeah, interesting. There were also trailers that were released here in the during the award show, like world premiere trailers of Rainbow Six Vegas 2. That was on last night. I only heard about it this morning. I did not watch the show. Didn't TiVo it. Didn't tape it. Nothing. I didn't watch.
It was TiVo'd at my house.
Yeah. Really?
I stopped short of saying I TiVo'd it. I will just say that it was TiVo'd.
Nope, I didn't do it. But yeah, there were some trailers released there. Little Big Planet had a trailer, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, GT5.
I saw the GT5 trailer because there was much ado about it.
Yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. All right.
It didn't look like anything, you know. I don't know. It looked like a trailer. I mean, it looked like something that I'm just... I naturally assume that it's 99% falsehood. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't sway me.
Yeah.
It's rare that a trailer really does it anyway. You have to do something like the last 8 seconds of that Burnout trailer.
Yeah.
To really get me hot. And they didn't do anything even remotely like that.
Yeah,
it was
some
CG guys walking around some CG cars and those things driving on CG tracks. And it was like, some of this, I'm sure, is legit. Some of it is embellished. Some of it is complete garbage. I don't know what's what. Ship the game. We'll see.
Did you get to watch the new Grand Theft Auto trailer?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Just curious what your thoughts were on that one.
I'll go find it. I'll go watch it. I don't need to.
You can download it from the marketplace. It's in the Xbox Live marketplace.
I saw that on the list. I didn't get to play anything on the box today, but I queued up a bunch of things that I wanted to download, a couple demos and things. I saw that. I don't know why I didn't get it. I'm stupid, but I'll watch it. I don't need to.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Curious.
Doesn't matter.
The first
release your trailer, don't release your trailer. I'm buying your game.
Yeah, it's the first thing we've seen since, what is it, June? Was it June or July? Something like that. Since we had seen.
Since the second trailer?
Yeah, and I can't remember when the second trailer was released, but it was summer.
It was summer. Yeah, it's been a very long time.
Very long time. All right, taking a look at the this week's release, December the 12th, we got Blacksite Area 51 on the PS3. Excuse me. We've also got, let's see, NCAA March Madness 08, the Orange Box for PS3, that comes out this week. Also, Unreal Tournament
Rats
3.
Guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll like it.
Unreal Tournament
Play Portal 3, first,
yes,
please.
Yes.
Just so you can get the jokes.
Yeah, definitely get play Portal. Unreal Tournament 3 on the PS3, that's, that releases this week. On the 13th, let's see, nothing. And on the 14th, nothing there as well. Let's see, what did we get in our virtual console today? Pokemon Snap from the Nintendo 64, 1,000 Wii points, if you'd like that one. Ghosts and Goblins from the NES days, that's 500 Wii points. Baseball Stars 2, Neo Geo, for 900 Wii points there. And on Xbox Live Arcade this week, we get Arcadian Warriors for 800 points and Grip Shift for 800 MS points as well.
That sounds like an old Autobot name.
Grip Shift.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, it does. Grip Shift. That is cool. none of that matters, however, because this week we get the Burnout demo. Yay.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that was
Thursday.
This week. Really? That's good. Good for you.
Yeah, great for me. Burnout Paradise demo releases on Thursday at midnight or something like that on both the PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Any idea about the contents? Like what aspects of the game are going to be in the demo?
We're getting 1/10 of the map. There's a picture of it I posted in the Burnout thread over on Evil Avatar. And there's a section of the map that you get to see. It's 1/10 of it. It's still very, very big. There are three things you can do in the map. There are three challenges that can be done while you're inside that map. A race, a stunt run, and I believe Road Rage are also part of it as well. It will also come with online so that you and the final game will have you and eight people, or you and seven other people, basically a total of eight. The demo is a total of four, so you and three other people can go online in this little bit part of the map and you know, mess around. Let's see, what else is going to be involved? They'll have the camera system in play so that, you know, whenever you crash, if you're in a multiplayer game, you crash somebody else, it snaps a quick shot of them and snaps a quick shot of you and sends it to each other. So that a lot of those things will be active. Crash mode, showtime mode, I am not sure if that's going to be in there or not. I've heard rumor that it would, but I've heard rumor that it won't be. So I'm not sure. They're really keeping a tight lid on the showtime thing. I've heard very, very little about what that mode is and how it's different from what Crash Mode used to be in Burnout. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it a whole lot. I'm going to be playing on both the PSN and the 360, whoever I can find some people to play around with. So, looking forward to that. Let's see, what happened Tuesday for us in the news there? Well, we did finally get a tally. We mentioned this on last week's show, but yeah, we're now gold sponsors over on childsplaycharity.org. We raised over $5,000. We raised around six something, I think. And we still could be getting in donations. I'm not really sure, but I know we got over 6,000 marks. So congratulations to everyone at Evil Avatar for doing the donations. We are now gold sponsors, right along with Microsoft and Valve and a couple other Sony as well. We're up there with them. So there we go. We talked about, you know, we talked to Major Nelson last week, and one of the questions that Track Zero had was, when was Canada getting the movies, the marketplace movies and television shows and that sort of thing? Well, you're getting that tomorrow. Europe and Canada are going to get movies on Xbox Live. They're going to get that video marketplace, finally. So congratulations to you guys for finally getting that. Let's see, what else do we have? Turn your World of Warcraft character into a real-life miniature.
Yep.
Is that something that you're interested in?
Because
you put a lot of time into these characters.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. Like, it's an interesting story, A, because I think it's, like, a really, really awesome service.
Yeah.
They will catch flack for it because it's more money being spent, dumped into the realm, you know, into World of Warcraft. But, frankly, it's a really, really interesting thing. People spend a lot of time on character building. It's a nice way to do it. It seems like, you know, all three aspects of what you would need to do this are there, you mm-hmm. know? Blizzard added an open, you know, public armory information that essentially gives you every piece of information you could possibly want to know about a character. How it's built, what it's wearing as of, you know, last login and all this other stuff. It's just basic public information. Anybody can get that. That, you know, you give them the name of your character on what realm, and, you know, they can drag that information out of the public data stream, and then they can combine that with some level of model viewing, like 3D model making stuff mm-hmm. that I'm assuming imports into, you know, pretty swank 3D printers that print in, I don't even know what form polypropylene or I don't know what kind of like plastics or polymers or anything that they would use. But honestly, it's not that far-fetched, and it's an extremely good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they've commissioned figures before, but I think they realized what a bad idea it was. You can, you know, you can, yeah, if you play a warlock, they're going to release a warlock figure, except that it's this highly stylized, you know, female orc warlock. Well, that doesn't help you if you're a male gnome. You know, it doesn't really enhance that, like, attachment you have to your character and its place in the whole scheme of things. So I think it's really cool. I don't personally think I would get one for myself. It also has a lot to do with, like, you know, what you're wearing, because at any given time, you know, there's some really cool looking gear in World of Warcraft, but not everybody has, you know, immediate and guaranteed access to that gear. So at any given moment, what you're wearing, the most effective kind of gear, can be, you know, I don't know, you can look pretty stupid. You know, your gear can be fine, perfectly legitimate, but it could be dumb looking, and that's that you don't want to pay $100 for, you know, a stupid looking version of your character.
Yeah. What is the price on that? I didn't read the story.
About $100 is what they were saying.
Okay. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah. The question is about quality. Like, if it was of, I don't know, it's hard to say. In the world of nerd statuary, this is an extremely awesome thing.
Yeah.
I would have to say that, you know, you need a certain level of quality, but it doesn't have to be as good as other forms of statuary that you're going to get, because it could be like of average quality, but it's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like, you know,
and it's unique, and it's
and
that
it's
one
your
thing.
Thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and it's not all that unique, particularly if you're a raid character. I mean, how different do you think all the Night Elf hunters in the world look? Not that different.
I haven't really done anything with World of Warcraft, but I have with City of Heroes, and I go back.
But that was what City of Heroes was. City of Heroes pretty much began and ended with what your character was built like.
Character creation, yeah, exactly.
Warcraft is actually it's a bit too simple in that regard, but whatever. It is what it is. I don't know what's going to stop you from, like, you know, picking the most epicked out character on your server, like some guy who you aren't, and just being like, yeah, you know, I'm this guy. You know, I'm like whatever dude who has the, you know, the twin blades off of Illidan. And I'm the, yeah, that's me, definitely, sure. Whatever. They don't care. You're paying $100. It's public data anyway. You don't have to be that guy.
That's true.
You don't own any sort of copyright. Huh. So you just pick a guy. I like the way he looks. I look dumb. He looks cool. I'm going to tell him that that's me.
I'll take him.
You know? And I don't know what kind of variations there are going to be, but I was kind of hoping that Dana wouldn't see it, because I was gonna get one of her little gnome mage. Oh. But, like, the next day she was like,
hey,
you know,
did you see this?
You know? I can has statue? I'm like, yes, you can has statue.
That would be kind of interesting, just create a character solely to let people pay for it, to have their own little figurine.
Oh, yeah. That would be neat, you know. I mean, and there's a lot of variations you could do. It doesn't necessarily, like, have to be, you know, some grand epic guy, you know. I'm awfully fond of my, you know, level 20 rogue who's decked out in all the Black and Defia set, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you got a, like, purple twink or something, then that's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's neat. It's another service for people who really enjoy what they've got in the game. You know, it's another thing. And it's $100. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like that much. It's more than I plan to personally spend for any of mine, but for a lot of the people, no.
And it's like when Rainbow Six allows you to put your face on your character.
Yeah.
You make him strictly unique, obviously for free, but but yeah, that's.
I mean, free if you don't have a camera already.
Well, yeah, if you don't have a camera, if you don't have, you know, have the game, got to put the game, then you got to buy the console, whatever the case. But still, to be able to do that, to be able to ultimately, you know, have that, nobody's going to have that face
mm-hmm.
on their character. So yeah, I wish more games would implement that.
I think think this is cool. That's really what it is. It's mostly just extremely cool. So, I think it's a good idea. They'll probably make a fair amount of money off of it. It's a good service. And I know that it's not Blizzard doing it. It's someone else, but they're in conjunction to some degree with Blizzard. I didn't follow the story very deeply. I know that the site that they're launching this week. They're launching tomorrow, actually, so we'll have a lot more information on it then. But I think it's a neat thing.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Too. I think it's great. I'm glad that they make something like that available, and because it really is. And in other aspects of gaming, since I don't do that in World of Warcraft, if they came out with something that said, okay, we can take your character that you've made in this game, and we can make a sculpt out of it for you to have, an action figure, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do that. There's a couple of different games I'd love to do that. Like in Burnout, if I ever have a wreck, I would love for them to take a snapshot of that wreck and then have it, you know, print out, whatever, you know. I would love to have something like that.
I wish somebody would do this, actually, and I would even suggest it, because far more interesting than the World of Warcraft thing is if they could do precisely this thing, but with my ships from Eve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that
would be sexy. That would be sexy. I would have, like, all of my ships from my, you know, frigates all the way up to my battleship sitting on my desk. That I would pay money for.
Wow.
I would pay a lot of money for that actually.
Neat. Yeah.
You know, not that I play anymore, but I'd really like to have that for City of Heroes. I don't know if you remember, but my main character, and there was a character I created when I was in
junior high. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, wow. That's some... Yeah, just... plenty of opportunity here for something like this for people like us. Let's see, what else do we have? Wednesday, there was announced that you guys that the PS3 owners would have a double XP weekend. That's interesting to hear for Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
Double XP, you know? You don't normally hear about stuff like that unless it's World of Warcraft or City of Heroes or something like that. But Call of Duty 4, double XP weekend. If you're on the PS3, so congratulations for
on that one. Sort of makes up for things a little bit.
It does, and that's a lot of what it was there for, because they were having some serious problems on the PS3 end of things with Call of Duty 4. So that'll help them to catch up a little bit. We got our dashboard update last week. I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying
it. Yeah, how you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's great.
It sped things back up a lot, actually. What they did ever since the spring update.
That blade pops out quick.
Man, the friends list, like all of everything in your management blade was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. Like, almost controller throwing horrible. So, I was, like, really, really happy to apply the update and, like, see how brisk everything was.
I mean, it's just fast.
It made me feel good. It's a lot nicer UI now.
Did you check out Friends of Friends? Did you look at other people's friends?
I did. I did. I got a little irritated that it wasn't, like, that it wouldn't go on, like, kind of recursively the way I wanted it to. Is like, because I had like one person online that early in the morning when I got it. And I was like, I'll look at his friends list and all his friends. And I'm like, okay, I want to look at that guy's friends list. And I was like, aw.
It wouldn't let you.
Wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand if that was a limitation of the technology that they were using to do this or whether it was an active choice. Because I would like, you know, that would be a great game to just try to browse people's friends list and find a specific person.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
6 degrees of separation type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But it would also be an extremely useful thing. It would just be, or maybe just intellectually interesting. I don't know. But I really wanted it, and I was annoyed when I couldn't you know, jump from one friends list to another.
Yeah.
But it's still an interesting feature. It's still an effective stopgap for certain shortcomings. In the live interface, so
namely the 100-person friend cap, basically, because I've used it. We've been in COD 4 games, and we're like, all right, let's see who's on. We'll check our friends list, and we'll jump down to the EVAV friends gamer tag, look at their friends list, and see who's on that we don't have that may be playing or available or whatever the case. So you can jump in there. The bio, I'm not exactly sure how much space it gives you for the bio, but I've got a lot of stuff in mind. I was waiting for someone to invite me to a COD 4 game, and so I'm sitting in there. I'm like, well, I'll update my bio. So I have the chat pad on my controller.
Uh-huh.
So
you got that? How do you like it?
Oh, it's great. I bought it for Halo because I was naming like so many screenshots and movies.
Oh,
and stuff.
I see. Yeah.
I bought it for Halo 3 because I was naming.
You had that. I keep forgetting that you had that.
Yeah. So it's really handy, and I sit there and typed out a really long bio to see how far it would go, and then I just stopped. I was like, all right, it probably goes even further. I was like, but I'll just leave it at that. So yeah, I'm loving the Dash update. I love what they've done with everything. You know, you've got your free stuff on Xbox Live Marketplace, a specific section that's free stuff that you can go to and look at and pick up gamer picks, themes, whatever the case. Just free stuff, exactly.
Yeah, I like the itemization on Marketplace a lot better now.
I like that they've grouped everything in folders that I've got. Like, I've got a bunch of different Halo 3 videos. One folder is all it takes. I downloaded a couple of TV shows. They're all in there in season-specific folders and that sort of thing. So I really, really like the way that they've organized it and the way that they've, gone even further with the organization of it. So I'm enjoying it. One of the things we found out, though, when we got that Dash update was that Silver members now must wait 1 week for the free content. So if we get demos, your demo that comes out, the Burnout Paradise demo that comes out this week, I don't know if that's, they got to wait a week. We'll get, the gold members will get it first, and then a week from then, if you're a silver member, you'll be able to pick it up. So, which is, I don't know,
I don't care, because I'm paying for gold anyway.
Yeah.
I just think it's a really rotten way to add value to gold subscriptions, because that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just trying to add value to the gold subscription by taking something away from the silver subscriptions, or... Well, in essence, doing that. Like, it's not a bad thing. Whatever. It's free. You get what you get, you know? But I just... Because now, anytime there's a comparison between silver and gold, it's going to be like, oh, look, you get everything a week before silver. And mm-hmm. It's like, you just did that. You just did that. I saw what you did. You just did that. Like, that cannot be an argument for why gold is better than silver.
Right.
Because you retroactively screwed silver. that's not how you make me value my money any better.
Yeah.
Let's talk dedicated servers.
Well, that's what I was going to say. At least, you know, now you can think about it that maybe your downloads won't take as long for demos.
Whatever.
Maybe.
No.
It's still going to take just as long.
I'm not going to help them out in that regard. I'm not upset about it, but I'm not going to I'm not going to help them. I'm not going to figure out why it's good.
I'm going to try to find a silver silver lining for the silver account or for the for the change of what they've done.
Or a gold lining, as it were.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see, and that was pretty much wrapped up what happened on Wednesday. Well, actually, no, there was like a hint of maybe the Deus Ex 3 game would be a prequel.
That would actually be a really good idea.
Yeah?
I don't know how legitimate that is. That would be an excellent idea. That's a really... That's a really simple way of avoiding, like, the craptacular state that the world was in after Deus Ex. You know, that you had the gem of Deus Ex, the turd of Deus Ex 2. Like, how you then create, like, another game in the series and then sort of overcome the fact that it didn't live up to the original. You prequel it. I mean, it's cheap. It's a cheap, simple tactic, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
It'll let you do something a little bit different. Where they place it and like how literal they choose to be with the events that we know that led up to Deus Ex, I don't know, but there's room. There's plenty of wiggle room in the fiction there. And like I said, I know I'd mentioned to you before that it was really interesting because Deus Ex was released, and it was a game that took place in a world that had been ravaged by a serious escalation in terrorist activity.
Right.
And while it was a completely different type of outcome, although it was set in the relatively distant future, it was weird that game happened before the escalation that we're all, you know, aware of right now. It was 98, 99 is when that game was... around, and we just didn't really see things the same way.
No.
So to visit that game's, you know, the build up to that after we've experienced events that were, you know, not dissimilar to things that happened in that game, I think will be maybe more than just a clever way of avoiding a crappy sequel. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, like, way to... It's a more interesting part of the narrative.
Yeah.
So...
But no, I totally...
But it's just a rumor, so whatever.
It is a rumor. I don't know. There was something in the trailer they saw a...
It was a date.
It was a date on a ballot box.
That was well before, about a quarter century before the time frame of the first game. So, it could have been a mistake. I mean, the franchise has passed through enough hands now that people don't necessarily know. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It could be whatever. It could have been intentional. It could have been a slip of something that they didn't want people to know, or it could have just been someone screwing up the date.
Yeah.
You never know.
And we'll find out eventually.
I hope for the most complicated and devious answer.
Exactly.
That's always the most fun for me. So that's the one I want to find out that it's true. And maybe even if it wasn't true, someone who's in charge of writing this thing will think, hey, this rumor got out about something that isn't what we were going to do, but boy, that sounds like a great idea, so let's do that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I hope that's what's happened for you guys. I need to go back and play the original.
It holds up.
Yeah.
It totally holds up. You absolutely should play it. Yeah. I mean, it's not the prettiest thing in the world, but the gameplay's there. It's squared away. It is really solid. The story is great. You should play it.
I'll go back and do that. Let's see, what else? One final thing, and then we got to take a break here. A 1UP talked to the guys who worked on Uncharted. They said that the sequel is pretty much guaranteed. That's great, because, again, I can say nothing but great things about that game, and I wish everybody... I almost hate that it's exclusive on a PS3. I wish everybody could get a chance to actually experience that game. It is a wonderful game. And so if it's going to have a sequel, if it's going to have a franchise... They're going to release like five of them like they do with the Crash and the Jack and Daxter and whatever else. It's fine with me as long as they keep the quality.
It's well suited to it. I mean, it at least from what I can see, I'm not obviously not talking about the story because I don't know it, but
yeah.
That type of gameplay like is fairly easy to deal with. I'm slightly apprehensive about the fact that Assassin's Creed is evidently going to get the sequel treatment because it's the flavor of its gameplay is so very, very strong. And, like, the opinions run really hot and cold. With something like Uncharted, I can see them making a sequel and making minor changes to the gameplay and just continuing the story and offering new environments and on and such as that. Assassin's Creed is going to necessitate sweeping changes to the game, I think, to justify a purchase of a sequel. Mm-hmm. Because... certain aspects of it were so completely specific. I don't think even I would want to do exactly what's going on in Assassin's Creed for another game.
No, I'd like something different. I would.
But not even just subtle differences. I really think that you're more likely to see big, mm-hmm. big changes
yeah.
to how that game works. And that's dangerous.
Who knows? Anyway, we got to take a break. It'll take us all the way up to the top of the hour. We will be back 6 minutes after the hour. If you want to call in and talk to us, you can, 334-272-9228, or send us an email, everyone@evilavatarradio.com. We'll be back with more here on 1170 WACV and Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. It's the second hour here. Going to talk about, talk about plenty of things. News here. If you got something you want us to talk about, call us. 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Or you can email us everyone@evilavatarradio.com. You can do that as well. Let's see. You know, I was asking you this during the break. You weren't here last week when we were talking about, we were talking about Gerstmann over at GameSpot.
Right.
And that whole issue there. And we were also talking about Activision and Blizzard. And I know, you know, we even said that. Blizzavision, or whatever they want to call it.
Actazard.
And we were talking about it in here, and we're thinking, the guy that needs to talk to about this is you, because you play World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, we had thoughts on the whole churn out a franchise every year thing, but everybody's thought on that is bad idea. Other than the executives who want to make money off of it, but...
The thing that I find funny in all of this is that Blizzard isn't even a company that makes games anymore. Blizzard doesn't make video games. Like, practically speaking, what Blizzard does is maintains the most popular video game in the world.
Right.
They basically, you know, keep their money printer working correctly. That's what they do. They modify it slightly, you know, they pay a lot of attention to it, they grease the gears, you know, and occasionally they add a new part to it. Like, that's what they do, and it works effectively, and that's great. The only thing that they've done outside of WoW in forever is release a Diablo 2 patch and announce that they're making a sequel to how old is StarCraft now?
Oh, goodness.
This ancient relic fossil of a game, and the remake is essentially... that's what it is. It's not even a sequel. It's just they're just making StarCraft again.
Again.
Which is fine. I mean, it's fine. There's a reason why so many people still play it, and competitively, because it is well known. It is well understood. It works. it's a good basis for RTS competition.
Right.
So there's no need to change it tremendously. They're just essentially updating. Like, then, so they're not a company that is releasing games all the time, some of which are good, a lot of which fail or are mediocre. They don't do that. They essentially do one thing. And they were very clear at when they announced StarCraft II. They made some very direct statements to the fact that, like, yeah, we're making this, but we could do whatever we want. Like, the only limitations on their ability to make games are the laws of physics. It's certainly not money. They can do whatever they want. They have the money to do whatever. It's a freedom unknown in almost every other, like, you know, publisher. They can do whatever they want.
Right.
Or developer. They've got, you know, they've got a lot of money. So I don't see them needing anything from this deal. As a company, they don't need to tap into the console market.
No.
There are a lot of people out there who are really good at making MMOs, really good at making PC games, but for various reasons that we've talked about for a very long time now, they're just not succeeding. That's not true for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they make it, it's strictly on the PC, it works really, really well.
Yeah.
People pay for it, they play it, and on the whole, on the whole, people really like what they get. So I don't see them thinking, well, you know, we've got this, but it's just not doing what we want to do. I mean, maybe they're thinking very, very far down the road, but I just don't see them as needing an inroad into the console world. I'm not saying that they don't stand to make money from something like that, but it just seems to me that out of this deal, they weren't the ones who needed something. It was yeah. Activision.
Yeah. No,
But what would you offer to them that they would want? I don't know. More control? I mean, ultimately, WoW is going to lose steam. Even if it winds up having 10 years worth of a run, it's going to lose steam. It's going to have to be replaced.
Right.
And the idea of bringing World of Warcraft to a console is horrible. It's a terrible idea. It's not smart. It wouldn't work. The way the game is designed, it would not work. That's not to say that Blizzard could not come up with a brilliant way to implement an MMO on the consoles, and somebody's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably within the next couple of years.
It may
we're
not be
see
Warcraft,
something.
But yeah.
It may be whatever comes directly after it. It may be something else entirely. I don't know. But you've really got to be thinking about that when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to make a very serious stab at MMOs on the consoles. And it may be them. This may be something that they want to do. I don't know. But I'm honestly confused about the motivations. I don't know. I question it, but nobody in the WoW community really cares.
I was going to say, what were their thoughts?
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Pitchforks and
torches. I mean, you know? Blizzard said to the WoW community essentially what they'd said to everybody else. This isn't going to change how we do business with our games.
Right.
That it's not to say that this isn't going to change which games we make, but basically this is not going to destroy WoW. This isn't going to affect WoW. And fine, you believe them. Why would they change it? It makes a lot of money.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
it's not broke.
It's very effective in the way that it is. And I don't think people are particularly concerned. It's a juggernaut. It's rock solid. I mean, it's got deep roots, a strong foundation. It's what it is. There's no sense that in the middle of the night someone's going to come clean out your stuff a la Star Wars Galaxies, and you're going to show up and have an entirely new game under your mouse. I mean, there's no sense of that. There was for a long time in the MMO community when that happened.
Right.
I mean, granted, it was, you know, Sony running things. It was SOE that was responsible for that decision. But there is no, you know, uncertainty in this particular market now.
One thing I've heard, even accepting Blizzard, other companies that Activision has acquired, they've allowed them to retain their corporate identity and allow them to do things their way. It's not like EA, where they say, well, now you're part of EA, you do things our way. And they're a lot more friendly to their acquisitions.
I think it would be funny for somebody to tell Blizzard that. Just be like, okay, whatever, man. Like, their name identity is so strong. They've got, I mean, they're such a potent thing that, I don't know. There is no fear that I can sense from anybody that things are weird because of the thing. I think the biggest concern is that the name is now stupid.
Yeah. Activizard or whatever you want.
Activizard or BlizzVision would have been far better, but whatever.
The name is what? Just
Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
That's the name.
I don't know. Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, it's dumb, but it allows them to keep their name as a whole thing in whatever it is that they are now. So I understand how that works, and that's fine. But ultimately, nobody really cares.
Yeah.
It'll matter when we start to see the fruits of that of the venture. And that's not going to be for a while.
We got an email from Agwart, who's in the chat room right now. He wants us to please discuss Street Fighter 4. He was very excited about the picture, and he wants to hear some reactions.
I thought the screenshot was really cool.
Love that little screenshot. Yeah. I really enjoyed what I saw there. That's our reaction, man. We liked what we saw. That's all we saw.
I think we're to the point now.
Expect to be interested again. I haven't cared since.
You can have a 3D Street Fighter engine with 2D gameplay, and it still, you know, look and feel as nice as the old 2D fighters. I mean, the last time they did a 3D Street Fighter was Street Fighter EX.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, early, you know, polygon kind of stuff. And it wasn't up to par with the rest of the franchise. But I think we're well beyond that now. It looks like it's going to be great.
I'm not even a fighting game guy, and I'm actually kind of juiced about it. I like it.
The only thing I kind of wonder about is, you know, how the gameplay is going to pan out, considering all of the former Street Fighter teams are now making the Guilty Gear series for I forget the name of that company, but yeah, none of those guys are at Capcom anymore.
Oh, well.
So I kind of, you know, wait and see, but I mean, it is Capcom. Capcom treats their franchises very, very seriously, so.
Yeah, now I want to see the game in motion, though. I want to see some movement.
Yeah. Well, that's the obvious. Right. I mean, and that's the next question. Great screenshot, good idea. Let me see it in motion. Okay, that looks good. Now I need to feel it. I need to put my hands on it and feel that it's, you know, as rigid and like a taut an experience as it needs to be Street Fighter.
Agward also says that today on the Wii, Pokemon Snap was released with some Wii functionality, storing and sending photos. What do we think the future of this is? Would it be great to see GoldenEye 64 with Wii controls, or maybe
it'd be fun.
At last some leaderboards as well. I'd love to see the Wii expand upon their online community, their capabilities.
Yeah.
God, but you got to get rid of the friend codes before you do that.
Won't happen this generation.
I know it won't. I know it won't.
Neither that or voice chat, I think, is going to happen this generation with the Wii. That's so frustrating.
It is. It really is.
That's fine. You know, I'll play my Nintendo games on my Wii, and I'll play my, you know, more serious multiplayer games on my 360.
We're not even halfway through this generation, and we're already writing off certain features as failures and looking ahead to the next. It's kind of, I mean, it's what we're doing, and it's what the situation is, but it's really kind of dour. I don't like that at all. It's another reason why I don't like it. It's not as much of a malleable platform as the other two are.
And that doesn't have anything to do with the, you know, platform itself. It's the company.
I mean, but if it's the company, then it isn't something that we should give up on, because we can expect them to. If the platform really is capable of doing those sorts of things, then we could always expect that functionality would show up.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure that they could implement it on the infrastructure that they have in place for this kind of thing. But I mean, I'm not very familiar with the ins and outs of the Wii. I don't choose to be, but it just seems to me that, like, yeah, you're right to not expect that anytime soon, but it just stinks.
Yeah.
The Wii is such a social console, as far as the way that they seem to market it.
Locally social.
Locally, yeah, I was going to say, though, but it's all locally there. It's always, you know, it's a group of old people in the room bowling, complete with bowling shirts and everything else, just having the full, you know, experience of bowling without breaking a hip. And then, you know, but then they want to include, like, Smash Brothers, ambitious with all the stuff that they're putting into that game.
Yeah.
And I just, there's going to be moments that are going to be had. It's even online, but you can't talk to the guys you're playing against online, you know?
If they ever give me a Dash update on my 360 that lets me have an entire party of people, maybe we can play Smash Brothers and then get on the Xbox Live voice chat to talk.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a completely legitimate thing to expect. You know that it's perfectly capable of it. It's a question of them finding a way of doing it that they're happy with, that allows them to cover their bases on you know, unfair play
mm-hmm.
and things like that. They'll do it. They'll do it. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's on their minds. They'll do it. They seem to respond in a lot of ways like Blizzard does. I mean, kind of jumping back to talking about them. Blizzard will eventually give you what you want. There can be a glaring omission in how World of Warcraft works. And it can be there for years. And you can write it off as something that's never going to happen because everybody's decided it can't. Some violation of some sacred PvP tenant or whatever. But whatever. Eventually they'll get it to you.
Yeah.
Pretty much when you're not looking. They'll wait exactly. until every single person has forgotten about it or given up on it. And then there it is, not even in the patch notes. Which is strangely kind of fun.
Yeah. And just the way things work. And we talked about this a little bit during the break. I just like the title that that B.A. Pigwin chose when he posted the story, Army of Pooh, instead of Army of Two. James would like you to go back and listen to a few episodes
months ago.
Yeah.
I was all about that game. It was one of the whole proof of concept stuff that they had about it kind of sold me on the 360. Like, look at all this really great, like, co-op type of stuff that they have. I was really buying into it for a long time until the first, like, real videos came out. And I was astonished that nobody was saying anything because it looked horrible. I mean, it stunk. There was just nothing satisfying mm-hmm. in what I had seen in the gameplay. And the more they released, the worse it looked. And it's been like this for, like, since summer. Or whenever it was that I first started seeing that imagery, nobody was talking about it. It wasn't getting any press. I'm assuming that they would just release them, you know, to wherever and hope nobody looked at them or something. Because it just looks awful.
Yeah. And then they delayed it,
and I mean,
of course.
OFFAL. Awful. So... I mean, I'm glad that it's sort of come around and it's being recognized because, you know, they need to be smacked for taking what was really, like, such a rich concept
mm-hmm.
and making it so completely sophomoric. So, I agree. Army of Pooh, indeed.
We got some Rainbow Six Vegas 2 details that came out last week as well. New weapons, 11 new multiplayer maps, 2 new multiplayer game modes. Have no idea what those could be. The Xbox Live section is expanded with a search option. I'm not exactly sure how that works. You can join matches that have already started. They've altered the AI of the enemy, of course. That's
and as
great.
Much as we've all played that game, a lot of that is completely unfamiliar because all we ever did was like
yeah.
co-op terrorist hunt.
Exactly. That's all we ever did. We didn't go into the multiplayer matches. It was bot
matches,
basically.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. What's interesting about that, though? What's the interesting part of that press release?
Let's see. Every cutscene real time, the frame rate is much higher. What? I don't know.
That's a press release of an expansion.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
That's what I find very, very interesting about it. That's what's talk-worthy about that, is that that's how you release information about an expansion, like, which is really how they're approaching this. Well, take the same assets, take essentially the same game, and just, like, plug in some more stuff. That's really what it sounds like they're doing. And personally, I think that's really cool. I don't have a problem with that. I don't need, you know, a ground-up sequel for mm-hmm. this. A, because they left me in the lurch.
I was going to say, you need an ending for the game.
Yeah, but more than an ending, I need more game. I thought the game's great. I don't have a lot to say, and there is a lot being said, about the competitive multiplayer out there. I mean, we all played it so much. Every time that we wanted to get together, we wanted to do it co-op, whether it was the story or whether it was, you know, the campaign mode or whether it was a terrorist hunt bot match. It was extremely fun. I never really felt the need to get into the competitive side of things. But apparently it was extremely cool for the people who are out there.
Mm-hmm.
However, it managed its unlocking and its rank-ups and everything was evidently really overshadowed by how Call of Duty did it. And right. In retrospect, it doesn't look that good.
No.
But it's still got what I consider to be the cover mechanic.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to have a cover mechanic, that's essentially how you need to do it. And I thought the single player was great. I mean, I thought it was great. The game looked great. It played great. It was one of the first FPSs on the 360 that I totally bought into.
Right.
It didn't feel like a PC shooter, but I felt like the translation was really solid. Like, I was comfortable using the dual analog sticks. I liked it.
This is a year-old game. This game came out a few weeks after or before Gears? Was it after or before? I think it was after.
I bought my 360 the day that Gears came out.
That's right. Because Gears was our first... I mean, obviously, there was a game called Kill Switch for the original Xbox.
Yeah.
That first gave us a sense of cover mechanics and how that whole thing worked. Pop out, shoot, pop back in. And Gears of War kind of refined that a little bit and gave us another way to do the cover system again and another way to play, I guess, you know, A button being your only thing to really worry or concern yourself with. And then Rainbow Six came out and had another, again, was involving, and we're thinking, okay, is this the way games are going now? Is this the way first-person shooters are or third-person or whatever the case? You give us a cover mechanic, and that's what we get. But, yeah, Rainbow Six, I enjoyed their cover mechanics so much better than I did Gears. I can't really say why, because they kind of did the same thing.
It had a lot to do with how it was just... Cover was an affirmative action. Cover was, I intend to get undercover. Your default stance is first-person shooter guy.
First-person shooter, yeah.
Like, but... It didn't. There was nothing weird. Covering in that game had nothing to do with maybe a peculiarity of how you were holding the controller or what you did in that particular moment or anything like that. How your character that you can't sense and feel is interacting with the environment that you can't sense and feel.
Right.
It was imprecise in games that were some sort of automatic thing. No, you walk up, you hold that button, you're undercover.
I can't remember what button it was either.
It was left trigger.
Oh, okay.
But it was an extremely, like, immediate response to a direct, intentional action, you know? It was entirely controllable. That's why it felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
And how it was tied so directly to how they chose to present the game visually. It was cool.
Yeah.
That's all there was to it. It was really cool. It was sharp. It was clean. That's how that game worked, and I loved it.
It does sound like expansion material, and I believe a lot of people brought this up in the thread about that. I was like, well, maybe this is an expansion. What is this? You know, and it's not. It's a full retail game, but
okay, is that a problem? I mean, I know for some people, depending on what aspect of the game you liked better, yeah, that's a problem. But I liked it. I liked the game from beginning to end, and when it was over, I was upset because I wanted more,
mm-hmm.
and. I remember loving GoldenEye so much on the 64. I loved it. It was awesome. The multiplayer was awesome. The single player game was a lot of fun. And at a certain point, I remember just, you know, begging to, you know, the forces of the universe, why can't I just have more? Like, don't try to make a new game. Don't reinvent what you're doing. Somebody just give me more. Just more maps, more guns, more stuff. Ship it on another cart, put it out in 6 months, whatever. Like, minimum development time, just give me more. I love what you've done. I don't want it changed. I just want more.
Don't reinvent yourself because you run the risk of screwing it up.
Yeah. Sometimes more of the same is great. Sometimes it's what you want. You're not going to please everybody, but the cost and time and potential for mistake when you do something really great and then there's... the assumption that you're going to reinvent it for a sequel, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody can get me more of the same with mild improvements a year later, word.
It's what I expect.
I'll pay my money.
It's what I expect from Uncharted.
Assuming I liked it.
You know, the same thing. It's going to be more of the same. It's going to be maybe refined a little bit, but it'll be more of the same. They're not really going to deviate away from the gameplay of that game, of Uncharted. However... The you know, one of the greatest things about Uncharted, don't fall asleep on me, Dennis. one of the things about Uncharted is it's got great acting, great voice acting. The reason being for that is because they recorded the voice actors and the actions that they were doing at the same time. So while they're acting out a scene, they're recording the motion capture and their voices. So it fit really well. There was you didn't see any type of dubbing or nothing sounded out of place or unnatural. So that went a long way to making this thing great, as well as the story that was involved with this as well. The writing and the story was just great. So yeah, keep everything the same, but don't screw up my story. Don't give me crap story. Your gameplay can be great. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place for a really good game. Gameplay can be great, but the story might suck. Story could be good, but to play through it could suck. So you know, get it right, get all the parts of it right, and, you know, hope you have a great game on your hands. So, and I look forward to that. Anyway, we're going to take a break here, the only one we've got to take of the hour. When we come back, we'll have more here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Go ahead and say it. We need more music.
Yes. I was listening when I was at home last week. I was laying down and listening to it, man. Like, I hate it when we use, like, old music for, like, the jillionth time when I'm here. I really hated it when I was at home. I was like, man, this sounds horrible.
We haven't played that since mid-July.
No, I'm... Yeah, but it's... There are other things. There are other options. There are other things
okay.
that we should be using.
So you ready for me to bring you some new music then?
Sure, go ahead. I've got some. Right. I've got some of the more modern stuff in there. Like I've got Call of Duty 4 music in there. I've got Halo music in there. We've got the BioShock stuff in there as well. So, you know, I'd like to get a hold of the Assassin's Creed soundtrack and throw that in there, and a couple other things, Mass Effect. So, yeah, we'll start putting some more modern stuff in there, I guess, and play that. So, or we'll just put Major Nelson back in and let him bring us back from break. Let's do a real quick, I haven't done one in a while, chat room roll call. We've got Crash Shoes in there, Blackwing, B.A. Penguin. Hey, Nick, let's see, Fishbang, Anakin, 876, myself, Hoggy is in there, Daniel out, also Zilladana, UW Crash, Praying for Rain, 7, who still hasn't sent me his address because he won a shirt. Need to do that. Rogue Hunter, Straximus, Gaz is in the chat room. Also, Mott Wackworb. User 449, that is Jenny. Velarino, I believe. Velarino or something like that. Anyway, Kilaren, Agort, Track Zero, Shadowstorm, Hemorrhage, and Holmes all in the chat room as well. So, hello. We thank you guys for joining us in the chat room and for listening while you're doing other things. I think a couple of people in there are playing COD 4 while they're listening to the show. So, thanks for joining us tonight. You got an email from Gamefly today.
Oh, yeah, little thing.
Big thing for us.
Yeah, big thing for anybody in the Southeast. They're opening another distribution center in Tampa, down in Florida.
Great. That is great, because it takes forever.
That's actually really good, because, I mean, West Coast had it good first. All of us on the East Coast had trouble, you know, had a long time to wait. And then the second distribution center they opened was in the Northeast, and it was like, well... Most of our stuff still wound up going through the California distribution center. So it didn't help us at all. So to have one open in the Southeast, you know, for those of us still using the service, and I do too. And the number of people I'm sure that use it out there in listener land, that's a good thing. And if any of you are in the Southeast, you know, hopefully we can all stand to benefit from shorter shipping times.
Yeah,
that was, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but it was nice to finally hear that. I'd kind of given up on, I mean, I knew that they were going to continue to open stuff. They had said that in the past, but I hadn't thought about it in a while. So
it was nice to see that email in.
Yeah.
And if I check my email, I'm sure I'll have mine in there as well, but I haven't checked that account in a while. Wow, we're getting more emails.
That's okay.
Oh, he said it's a long A, but anyway, Agort, again, he emailed us. He said he may have missed this, too. What about the new, well, we talked about that, the GTA 4 trailer and info that the delay of GTA 4 is causing problems financially and that Take-Two's future could rely on the timely release of GTA 4.
I don't know how much of their future would rely on it, but I, absolutely it's causing problems for them. They were so close to what they had said was a rock-solid release date. I mean, that, not that you ever believe release dates, but that release date was legit. And
yep.
I think we all understand pretty well that at least the 360 version was done. I mean, I know that we've never had solid confirmation of it, but, you know, that, come on, you know, the game was done. The game was ready to earn money. The game was ready to print money, and it was going to.
So
no doubt it caused a lot of problems for them.
It did. I mean, there was even, I think there was even, like, reports of where GameStop had to cut back on their predictions of what they would be making that year. Because
they had been selling an awful lot of pre-orders, and we all know what they do with their pre-order money.
Yeah.
They make more money with it.
That's exactly what they do, and they couldn't do that because,
Or at least not with what they had anticipated, because the minute that date changed, you know, was a, it was about the time that pre-orders were going to amp up for something like that, you know, a couple of months out.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Very inconvenient for an awful lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, whose job is making money. So,
exactly. To not have that release.
What it'll mean in the future, I don't know. I mean, they release it, people buy it. I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think anybody who is ever going to buy it is going to not buy it now because there was release date controversy of any sort. And as we've discussed before, I think more people will buy it because it'll be in a more comfortable place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it won't be as surrounded by other top shelf titles.
And we talked about that. It was like, man, had it released, a good bit of us wouldn't have gotten around to play. We wouldn't have played Portal. We'd have heard about it after the fact instead of picking it up day one and going through it.
Yeah, that's definitely.
We'd have heard, you've got to play Portal.
True.
And that would have changed. It would have changed our game playing, what we were playing this fall. There definitely would have been a difference there. Would have been a difference in what we talked about on the show here. We'd be talking more about that than we would be anything else. At least during that time, during the release.
I think we'd be not too far away from the first of the downloadable content that they had promised, which was supposed to be at the top of the year.
Yeah, and then that all changed. It all changed. Whenever, who knows? A lot of people said it's the PS3's fault.
I am inclined to believe that.
We'll never know.
There's. It's all circumstantial evidence, but it's a mountain of it. So,
it is.
Well, you know, it is. There you go. But whatever, it'll come out. We'll play it. They'll make money. But there's no doubt that they are losing or have lost a great deal, and they aren't the only ones.
Yeah.
Those things are, you know, it's, you bank a lot on that, on the futures of games. So
yeah, you do, and they definitely were, them and a good bit of other companies were banking on that as well. I'm sure. I have no doubt that, you know, again, you look at Microsoft. They were hoping console sales would probably increase from that as well.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Sony probably hoping for console sales to increase from that, if they didn't know it was going to get pushed back. Speculation on that. Let's see, what else? We're going to get a wireless nunchuck for the Wii. That's something nice. What do you guys think about that? You guys that play the Wii. Yeah, I know.
Wake up. What? I'm sorry.
Wake up, Dennis. no, but, you know, you play the Wii. What do you think?
I have no need for a wireless nunchuck.
Really?
No.
Same
okay.
here.
There's... It works fine as it is.
Yeah.
No need to have it wireless.
Just connect it to the Wiimote, which is already wireless, and whatever, cord's long enough, and it doesn't get in the way. It's not like it's strung out across the room to my console for people to trip over.
I was
going to
say, there's not really...
It's fine.
It's a good, you know, you can get your arms pretty far away from each other with it still intact.
Obviously, someone's going to see value in it and buy it, but I couldn't care less. I'm perfectly happy with it the way it is.
There's always that someone who wants wireless over everything else, or who wants, or the opposite, who trusts the wired. You know, it was the long. It took me forever before I got a wireless mouse, just because I thought, well, I don't have to worry. I don't want to worry about it charging and it going out. I'm in the middle of a game, say Ghost Recon, and you know, my battery goes dead on my mouse, and I got to put it up and charge it and find a new one or something like that. Whatever the case, I didn't want to mess with it. But after playing, you know. After having a 360 controller and a PS3 controller and whatever else is wireless, I'm sure the Guitar Hero 3 guitar wireless is probably really cool. I don't know. But, again, that's something else I have no use for. So wired works just as well as anything else, and it doesn't bother me at all. Do you still play Forza?
Very occasionally.
Because I got that download content that came
out. It's a guilt title for me. Mm-hmm. There's half a dozen things in my library that I didn't really have any intention of walking away from, but did because of another game or because of a time thing. And I look at it occasionally, and, you know, it tugs at me. So that's one of them, and it did it again pretty severely today when I saw that there was more DLC available.
Well, we know Kevin does, so hopefully he's enjoying that downloadable content there.
That's one of those that I have a hard time going back to if I've walked away from it, because it requires a level of proficiency. Like, you know, basically you have to practice to be any good at it. It's not like 5 minutes getting, you know. I didn't jump back into Assassin's Creed until a week after I left it. And I couldn't figure out why I was getting owned up one side and down the other until I remembered that you don't block with the left trigger, you block with the right trigger. Okay, everything's fine in my world again. Now I'm a deadly assassin once more.
You've got to
it doesn't work
yourself.
Like that in Forza.
No, it
it's an
no.
entirely, you have to retrain that false set of reflexes, and get back into doing that particular thing. So to walk back to it after an extended period of time is a thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Stranglehold got a map pack. That's great. That's another one that's like, yeah. Who's playing multiplayer Stranglehold? You want to do your snoring thing again? That's
no.
Fine. Go right ahead. I figured that's what you would jump into. But yeah, so there we go. What did you think? I want to get your take on this because you weren't here to talk about it. But the whole thing with Jeff Gerstmann in GameSpot.
Oh, your... Man.
Okay.
I.
That usually means he's got something to say whenever he does that.
I don't have anything good to say. I don't know what happened. Nobody's ever going to know what happened. Even after the fact, he's not going to come out and really say what happened. We all work in places, man. There's politics everywhere. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but we all understand perfectly well that you're not allowed to say what's really going on. No one ever does. There is no truth in what's happening here. There's no honesty, and you'll never get it. You'll never get the straight skinny.
Right.
I don't think it's going to... I don't think the GameSpot staff is going to supernova. And I don't think we're going to find out that this was a particularly isolated incident either. And I don't work in this aspect of the industry. But I can tell you, for me, I trust it not at all. Mm-hmm. None of them. I just do not trust the editorial side of this industry anymore. For me, personally, it's their job to feed me screenshots and videos. That's it. It's so much more important for me to have contact with my peers who have played a game.
Right.
So, like, you know, when somebody... Because you guys got to Portal before I did. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can sense, like, the, you know, vibrato of excitement coming off of everyone. And I was like, oh, man, like, this totally does it for me. Like,
right.
I've got to be a part of this experience. I've got to go do this right now. Because... People who appreciate the experiences that I do in the same way that I do have, like, a powerful response to it. But someone whose job it is to quantify every aspect of this thing, but who we all know quite well is dancing to someone's tune, someone with a lot of money, like, the whole thing seems like an exercise in conflict of interest.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. I'm not saying any particular individual or group of individuals is wrong. I'm saying long ago, the whole thing blew far past my threshold of trust. I just don't. It's an amusement. It's interesting. And occasionally, yes, it's really good to talk about review scores because it represents some aspect of the pulse of the industry, but it's not important to me. If anything, you've seen more recently how a ton of great reviews, that's fine, whatever. But if somebody dogpiles on a game, I'm far more interested in that game.
Yeah.
Like
Lair.
Yeah. Lair, I mean, that was a big point of like where it started, but like I get more fired up when people do that. And I that's just an aspect of like not it's feeling like people aren't properly appreciating it. But on the whole, I don't care. I think it's a giant mess in a corner of the industry that is fast becoming irrelevant, at least to me.
Well, yeah, because, again, you go back to where a lot of us, and I'm in the same boat as you are, where, you know, I get my thoughts on if I'm going to buy a game or not. If I haven't already made up my mind beforehand, I get it from the people I play with.
Yeah.
If I sign on to my Xbox Live account and I look at my friends list and a dozen or so of the maybe 20 people who are online are playing COD 4, maybe I ought to look into that.
Yeah, but it's going to be more than that.
Well, no,
you see a game coming out. You've seen some video. You've seen some pictures. You know what the game is about, and you've played enough games in your life to understand what these type of games are. Or that maybe this thing is promising a feature that you've always thought should be implemented in a game in this genre. You know what system it's on, you know the capabilities of that system, and which of those capabilities are most likely to be exploited by this particular game.
Yeah.
You know that you like this style of thing. You've talked to your friends who kind of like this style of thing. It's very pretty. Maybe you know some people involved with the production of the game. You trust them from previous, you know, experiments or releases. It's not necessarily a question of hype or previews or anything like that. I think that we're either savvy or experienced enough at this point to assemble all the raw data about it and compile that into a picture of something that we either want or don't want, at which point previews from the editorial side of things become more or less, well, let me phrase that, entirely pointless. Like I'm saying, they're feeding me raw data. Just give me that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't trust the other half of it anyway. And so when it gets up to that point of release, I have so many options outside of actually purchasing it that I don't need a review.
No.
My own personal level of anticipation has been sharpened to the point where I'm going to try this game or I'm going to buy this game. Like, I know what I want. It's either too much money for me or the money doesn't matter. I want this game equal to this amount of money. You know, if yes, you know, I pull out the card.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's what it is. If I have any level of question about it, I'll gamefly it.
That's true, yeah.
And it'll be here sooner than it ever has
been. Sooner than it has before, exactly.
You know, and that's an extremely cheap option for me. Or I'll go down to Blockbuster, or I'll find someone who has it, or I'll wait for a peer review. I don't feel like I need what they have to offer anymore. And it isn't about the level of quality necessarily. It's about a level of trust of the whole thing and how well it actually applies to what I'm looking for. It's not a condemnation of the guys who are doing the work. I would really like to hear what they would say over a beer at right. some bar, you know, all names kept anonymous, but they can't. And because they can't,
that's where we are.
That's where we are.
Exactly. Let's see, a couple other things in the news. Well, this one just posted on the front of Evil Avatar right now, but it was making the rounds. It's the whole thing with Treyarch in Call of Duty 5. I guess that's what that would be. Returning back to World War II times. Okay, that's fine. I've never, you know, let me put it this way. I had a lot of fun with Call of Duty. Infinity War.
Call the first one.
Yeah, the first one. Call of Duty 2.
It was a riot, man. The game was...
Oh, man.
The game's mean. Like, it was... And it had to be, coming off of Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor was a solid series. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But first Call of Duty was great.
Call of Duty 2, was that Infinity... Who was that?
Yeah, yeah.
That was Infinity Ward as well. I played through that just a little bit. Call of Duty 3, I never picked up. I never bought it, never played it. You did?
Yeah, I played... See, when 2 first came out, I was like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like it. Some of the minor design elements, the things that I really don't like in Call of Duty 4 started to happen in Call of Duty 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just minor changes to how they built their game. I didn't like it. But eventually when I got the 360, I played it on the 360. And I was like, well, okay, it's fine. I borrowed it from you.
Yeah.
Played it. It was good. It wasn't remotely as good as the first one, in my opinion.
No,
and then I played 3, and I understood the differences. I understood that it was Treyarch. I understood it was console exclusive. I understood that they had made certain changes. But I didn't, and I should say that I didn't play the multiplayer in either one of those. Played a lot of multiplayer in the first Call of Duty, but whatever. So just the campaign and the basic gameplay as the only point of comparison, it was different, yes, but I didn't see that, you know, it was this night and day quality comparison that other people seemed to feel. I was like, they're both, you know, console-y first-person shooters. Whatever, they're fine, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly happy with Call of Duty 2, and I wasn't particularly put out with Call of Duty 3.
It'll be interesting to see what Treyarch does with their multiplayer after what COD 4's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I know that one of the most important parts about 3 was that it was console exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
4, again, is not. So, obviously a precedent wasn't necessarily set with 3 because it's gone back to Infinity Ward. They made this game. It's popular on all platforms. So does that mean that Treyarch is again going to simply make a console exclusive for 5? Or are they going to try to do a PC version of it? I don't know. It's really weird. I'm not sure that's such a great idea to be maintaining the same name for your series and toggling back and forth between different developers. It's the only way, like we were talking earlier, to meet that new title every year deadline that you're trying to do, but...
You know what this reminds me
of? Just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean you should.
This is Activision.
This reminds me of about, 8 years ago now, when Capcom was developing a Zelda game for the Game Boy, and I can't remember who was developing the Resident Evil game for Capcom. Sega was.
Just Sega, yeah. When they were doing, what was that?
It was Code Veronica. Yeah.
I was confident that that game was going to be the worst piece of garbage in that entire series. I was very happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Let's see. We got some more emails here. They're coming in. This is getting a lot of emails tonight. Drew, who was Holmes in the chat room, he wanted to ask, will there be any more GTA 4 trailers? I would say yes. I'm quite sure we'll see some more. That was a long one that we got this past. It was like a 2.5-minute trailer, the most recent one. If so, what would you like to see in the trailers? Any thoughts? Anyone?
Trailer for what?
GTA 4.
Oh, no. I don't know. I don't care.
Gameplay. I want to see gameplay.
Yeah.
Not just the game environment. I want to see gameplay. I want to see heads-up display. I want to see UI. I want to see gameplay.
There you go.
That matters. You can manipulate the cameras and tell me that it's real-time assets or real-time entirely all you want, and that's fine. Sure, whatever. See gameplay. What am I going to be seeing?
Yeah.
And I know that that's not necessarily, you know, locked down at the moment, but that's what I want to see.
Yeah, that's I agree with James. That's exactly what I would want to see, too, is some gameplay. This new trailer that they released, you haven't seen that yet, so you can't really say anything about it. But there's a lot more in there. The first trailer we saw, you know, a little bit, some scenery.
The first trailer was like a very, very stylized thing.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
It was, and I enjoyed it. And then the
second one wasn't as good as the first one, in my opinion. It didn't look as good.
There's a lot more in this third one. This third one has, it's number one, it's longer than the first two, probably longer than the first two put together.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot more going on. You see them driving the cars and that sort of thing. Again, I don't know that that's necessarily gameplay. I'm sure it's in-game stuff. But yeah, you see a lot more in this one. I was happy with this one because they showed so much more. I enjoyed that fact. So I got to see more of this game that I'm interested in. And I do want to see more, but I do want to see that gameplay. I definitely want to see the UI and the HUD and that sort of thing. I want to see how they work with that. Track Zero wrote in. Well, always. He wanted to remind us that tomorrow Canada gets Video Marketplace.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. We covered that earlier in the... we covered that before you joined us in the chat room, so before you started listening, we covered that earlier. But congratulations.
Well, worth repeating,
you.
Though.
Yeah, I mean, he's been without it for a while, so congratulations.
Has anybody gotten any of the Xbox
Originals
stuff yet?
Not yet.
I'm kind of like right there on the fence, kind of wanting to get a couple of those things because I didn't have an Xbox. Crimson Skies is something that I look at. I want to get Psychonauts.
Mm-hmm. You haven't played that at all.
I haven't played it.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like to get Psychonauts. And like, go get it on a disc. I know I could do that.
You can get Crimson Skies on a disc for like $3
at any of
the game stores.
I don't care.
But there's a difference.
I don't want to put the disc in. It's not a laziness issue. It's a user experience issue. Like, you know the worst thing about Call of Duty 4 multiplayer? I don't want the single player game. I don't want that. I want to play the multiplayer, and I want to do it like I did it in the beta.
That's the
problem. By going to my games blade, selecting the games, clicking it, and having it load up. I'm sorry, man. I want more stuff on my drive, less stuff in my tray.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. We got to experience the beta where we didn't have to mess with a disc.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want that. That's exactly what I want.
It's what I want. I mean, if you strictly from a usability perspective, it is superior. So, like, yes, I know I could go buy, like, you know, a disc that's been through, you know, anywhere from one to a dozen owners before. And that's fine. And I could feed things directly into the hands of a retailer who's getting all of that aftermarket profit, you know, or I could do it more directly, like, and then get it in a form that I personally prefer.
Yeah.
And obviously be subject to certain woes should my box ever die, but
yeah, definitely
whatever. I mean, balancing things out entirely, I you know, if there's something on that list that I really want, and I've always kind of had in my head as something I would pick up used, even if it's more money, I'm far more likely to spend it and have it on my hard drive.
Psychonauts is a possibility for me to purchase as well. If they ever release Midtown Madness 3, I will I'll download that, even though I've already got it. But if they release it, yeah, I'll download that one. And I would hope you guys would, too, because that's a fun little game. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Want to really quick go over, what are you going to be playing this weekend, Jeremy?
I want to finish up Galaxy. Maybe play some Rock Band also.
Dennis? Rainbow Chronicles?
Yeah, there we go. Rainbow Chronicles. Probably some Final Fantasy 12.
Zilladana?
Assassin's Creed and Rock Band, if you're up for it.
I'm glad that bug has bit you. That's great. You know, you got through COD 4, surprised us all. So that was great, too. James, what are you going to be doing this weekend? Working, I know, but when you get a chance to play, what will you be playing?
Yeah, Warcraft, Assassin's Creed, some more Bioshock, evidently. Still don't understand why that's as good as it is a second time around, but it is. Something else, certainly. Not Mass Effect yet, though.
No.
Holding off
to the beginning of the year on that one. For me, it's going to be COD... Well, no, I'm sorry. For me, it'll be Burnout Paradise demo. That's what I'll be playing all weekend. I may jump into some COD 4, but yeah, that Burnout Paradise thing. I'll be playing... I may take Thursday off. I don't know. Anyway, that's that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening in on this one. We're going to go record a little extra content here. You can pick that up on the podcast. Other than that, though, we will see you next week here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. Good night, everybody. That scares the hell out of me. But I think it's okay.
You think it's okay? That doesn't really make me feel better.
See how far you're going on these and see how far you're not going on those?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Okay.
So, now you know.
Going all the way.
Right.
Which is where you want to go, apparently?
I think it'll pick up more clear than, or clearer than what it does, than what we've done before.
Yeah, sure.
We've got to experiment. Sure. That's the only way we're going to figure these things out is experiment with it, so... We'll figure something out, but anyway.
What the hell's going on we didn't talk about? I feel like I talked about everything.
Because I was running out.
I didn't feel like I was running out. I just feel like I got to say everything I wanted to say.
I'm looking at the list of stuff that we normally go over, and I had nothing. After we hit on the Treyarch stuff, I was like, well, let's hope we find something. That was it. I didn't really have any other place to go.
No, there was other stuff. Had to be other stuff going on.
It's really... I've never... Like, when I used to, before I was even on Evil Avatar, you know, we were over at Mouse Look, and I was every now and again posting news on the front page of what was going on, gathered from other places, a lot like what Evil Avatar does anyway, but I didn't notice it until now, really following, having the RSS feeds and that sort of thing, which I didn't have last time, how thin it gets after the big holiday game rush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, man. God, it is so... You can look at it. You can look at the stuff that I'm putting in our little news dump.
Yeah.
There's hardly anything there. I'm stretching for stuff. Like, well, today, it's not really a stretch on this one, but MTV getting so involved with gaming now. Like, they bought... I don't know, like the show on Spike TV called Gamehead or whatever. I don't watch it. This was just in the news, and it's no longer Gamehead. It's going to be Game Trailers TV, with GameTrailers.com becoming more of a focus of that. World premiere trailers will be on their little show now, instead of hitting the internet first. It'll hit the TV show first, and then it'll hit the internet.
That's retarded. Nobody watches TV anymore.
Nobody watches
MTV or Spike TV.
Or MTV,
They don't watch that crap.
I play your games, your Rock Band.
Yeah. I can't think of anything more relevant to what I do than MTV.
Yeah.
Why?
Irrelevant? Try Counter.
Yeah.
There you go.
I can't think of anything more unlike what I like to do than MTV.
I don't know what to... I mean, they don't care about that, obviously. All they're trying to do is wrestle another form of media under their control so that they can squeeze money out of it. That's all they really want to do. All they're going to do is create problems. They're going to suffocate it or kill it instead of letting it be something that it really is. They're just looking for a way to get money out of whatever without actually doing anything good. Like, they're not going to do anything productive. They're going to put the same empty-headed, dumb assholes on their programs talking about this shit instead of, you know, someone who actually knows anything about it, because they're not trying to sell to people who want to know things about it. They're trying to, I don't know, they're trying to sell things. MTV sells things to people who want to be associated with an image that MTV holds. That's all. That's it. End of fucking story. That's why there's no more music. That's why music television is devoid of music. Because the music doesn't do you anything. Giving music away to people, letting them listen to music, that doesn't necessarily help you. Selling an image helps you. You know, so, whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't too happy.
So hopefully they won't be doing anything with good games. You know, just that's useless, what, just
that's,
useless
that's
games.
That's actually, when I heard about that, that actually scared me, because it scares me to see them getting more involved. You know.
Yeah. In the short term, it doesn't worry me, because they're too... They don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah, they see a number. They see a number. They understand that the games industry makes more money than their industry does.
Yeah. That's what I don't like.
That's all it is.
I'm trying to think of a good way to equate that, or to, you know...
There isn't one. The games industry will never be what we wanted it to be. Back when we were the only people who were interested in it. It'll never be that. Tough shit. You know, we aren't in charge of it. We don't control the money. We don't direct image. We don't. And it is what it is.
You know where I felt the... PAX is where I really felt... You know, obviously they're getting it right with PAX. Even though you still got people like Game Trailers out there and that sort of thing, that's fine, whatever. I don't have to be involved with that. And that's not where I'm getting it from. I'm actually going to the event now. Whereas before, you know, I'd have to get it from watching videos on Game Trailers or whatever the case. The fact that you go out there and you actually experience it, yeah, you do... You walk into that crowd of people and that group of people and you really do feel at home, you know? You feel like, all right, I relate. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas if you were to walk into something that MTV was holding, fuck, look at, I don't know if you watched this, but way back when the 360 debuted in May of 05, I think it was 05? Yeah, May of 05, MTV did the special on it. It was like, Unbox the Xbox or something like that. I don't know what it was called. But Elijah Wood was host. You remember this?
No.
You remember it? And like every 5 minutes it was a band playing or something like that, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't the bands that they had at PAX.
Yeah.
But whatever, some main... My whole point of that being is that watching that, I didn't feel... I was like, wait a second, they're talking about games, they're talking about what I'm interested in, but I don't feel...
Are they talking about it, or are they just like...
Well, you know, they're showing off the hardware, they're showing off, oh, here's the games, you know, that you can expect.
Are they hanging it from a flagpole?
But they don't care, they're just getting paid to show it to you.
I know, but it's that whole sense of, this is the only way I can experience this.
Yeah.
It's brand new, I want to see what the 360 looks like, I want to see the videos that they're showing, but this is how I have to go through with it? This doesn't feel, I feel out of place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's happening is that the game industry has grown to the point where it's starting to segment into these different things. I mean, you've got the casual thing branching off and becoming its own force, and then you've got, you know, MTV and their ilk getting into their, you know, whatever the hell it is they think they're doing.
Yeah.
And you've still got, you know, people doing what we've been doing this whole time. So
that's what
I think there's
more
a lot of room. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, and I don't think that the entire thing's just going to become this one particular thing. I think it's going to keep, you know, diversifying and changing and growing and becoming, you know, lots of new things.
Is that necessarily good?
It doesn't matter. What happens if you define it as bad? What are you going to do? You change it? You going to change the course of the way that the market manages what we love? No, you're not. Nobody can. Nobody's big enough to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. not even if you're one of the oldest and most respected names in game development, could you do anything. You couldn't change the course of the stream.
Yeah,
you'll be drowned in it.
Yeah.
You find a place inside of it that you can, where you can get something done, I guess. I mean, PAX is great. PAX is a response to the purchasing power of the enthusiast community. That's what it is. Like, and I'm not saying that that's like, that's why they put it together, because of a money deal. We know why they put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, you know, serious enthusiasts, and that's great, and we all need it. But the fact that it grows into something that the industry is willing to pay attention to is because, you know, we buy shit. We buy your shit.
Yeah.
Like,
it makes money.
There you go. And they recognize it, but it doesn't mean they respect it. I don't trust at all that any of them respect it. Nothing will ever happen, I think, that where they'll say, oh, this is like a really legitimate group of people and their interests are more important than anything. We should pay more attention to that. No, they're going to try to guide our interests toward what is most profitable. And sometimes that's going to be in the hands of MTV. And that's what it is. And I will ignore it completely.
I don't see MTV or Spike TV or what the hell ever running a special on Child's Play to highlight the, you know, anything like that. I don't hear a mention of
it. It's not very extreme now, is it?
No. I know. But it's also part of the, it's part of the community. It's
Child's Play doesn't wear a faux hawk. You know? It doesn't. Child's Play is a bunch of real people who do real things, real humans with real emotions. Child's Play isn't an image. It's a thing. It's,
yeah,
it's a genuine movement from, you know, toward a place of generosity. It's a legitimate thing. It isn't an image that you sell. You know, it's not, I don't know, whatever. So it's no good for them. It doesn't work for them. Right. It works for us. That's why it's great.
It's not making us money. It's making these hospitals money. And that's,
and
not,
that's, you know, excellent. That's,
no, it's excellent, excellent. But looking at it from that executive point of view, the point of view, who's running the network or whatever, who's running the MTV or the Spike TV or whatever the hell it is, they look at that, and coming from experience that I won't go into too deeply here, they look at it as a good cause, but they're also looking at it as, what's in it for us?
Mm-hmm.
What do we get out of this?
There's nothing wrong with being concerned with sustainability. It's still a business.
Yeah.
As much as I like a lot of the things that I do, and as much as I dream about doing certain things for a living, I want to do it for a living. I want to get paid.
Right.
But the simple fact is that good games don't matter. Games that sell matter. That's all that matters. That's why MTV wants to get involved. That's why Spike does the Video Game Award. It's preposterous. Are you kidding me? Like, there's no organization that even cares.
That's why we get a new EA game every year.
Nobody really cares. I don't need... I'm personally invested in the experience. Watching a movie and having an opinion on whether or not it should fare well with the Academy every year. I mean, that's one thing. As trite a thing as it is, that's one thing. You've sat there, you watched the movie, you felt a certain way about it. Maybe you care that it's validated at all at some award ceremony. I swear to God, there is no quantifiable degree of not caring that I have for what games win Game of the Year. I don't care. I played it. I bought it. I played it. The experience is mine. It's mine. They gave it to me. Like, they offered it. I gave them money. I took it home. I spent my time on it. That experience was mine. Fuck if it wins anyway. I don't give a shit. Like, and it doesn't do anything. There's no passive, you know, act in it. It's all about me and the experience. Or if I'm lucky, about me and my friends and the experience. That's ours. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If COD 4 got nothing but Rotten Tomatoes, what do I care? The thing is still real. It's no better. And my opinion isn't validated at all. I don't care. And they don't care. They just know that they can find something that sells and attach something else that they want to sell to it. That's all they care about. And I'm not even saying that's wrong, because it's always been that way.
Yeah.
Like, good game doesn't sell because it's good. It's never sold because it's good. You know, how many people bought E.T.? How many people buy EA? How many people buy EA products every single year? Only a tiny, tiny portion of which are any good. Like, it doesn't matter. Saleable game experiences don't necessarily have anything in common with good game experiences, and that's fine. And I don't really care. On the whole, it simply means that there's money flowing into the industry, and hopefully that means that some of that money will go to someone who does care about making a good game. God knows why. Yeah. Well, seriously,
no,
why?
No, yeah.
They make it almost impossible. It's almost impossible to be a developer of conscience and create a really, really good game, because you're not going to have enough money. You're going to have to take someone else's money, someone with enough money to do it, and anybody with that much money is someone whose job it is to make money, not good video games. So they don't care if you make a good video game. They want you to sell a game. It's a stupid, stupid industry. It's a great art, but the business is dumb as hell. And I hate that part of it. But again, it's not like I'm not going to protest. I'm not going to stop buying stuff. I'm not going to scream and spit, you know, any more than I usually do. Yeah. Just going to kind of recognize that there it is.
God help us if you did.
Yeah. Like, whatever. Yeah, so MTV's in control of what everybody thinks about it now. That's fine. It's already that bad. We've already got, you know, an entire nation of jocks who think that they're gamers now because Spike TV and MTV told them that they were. Because ad campaigns told them that it was extreme enough for you to pay attention now. You know. I'm sorry, but, like, where the fuck were they 10 years ago? What were they talking about?
Yeah.
You know. They really weren't concerned with the party mechanics of Chrono Trigger. They didn't concern themselves with how quickly they could get, you know, from one end of Super Mario World to the other. Like, it was inconsequential. Those were simply markers that they picked up on, like, for to cause me pain when they heard me talking about it. That's what that was for. So it'll keep. I mean, and it's been doing this for a while. So it'll keep going. They'll try. There will be people who want to, you know, move it into a different realm of popular culture, and I suppose the things that we really care about will move into something else, and there will be great games. But I don't know. I don't think the reality is ever going to match what I wanted it to match, you know? Just, you know, if you think back to, like, what you thought the future of video games would be, like,
that's
in 10 years.
What did you think it was?
I mean, I don't know. I had certain better ideas. I wanted more successful MMOs. I wanted more people to be more successful with smaller MMOs. I think it's a brilliant idea for how to create a game that doesn't require, you know, a relatively large expenditure of cash, and then you're kind of done with it. I think it's a really good way to build a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen almost everybody fails at it. Almost every single person who makes one fails. Because they want to be, they think they need to be just like the guy who did it perfectly, mm-hmm. apparently. You know, everyone was swinging for EverQuest, and now everyone's swinging for WoW. Instead of making a good game, they're taking shots at the big guy because they think that has anything to do with making a good game. It doesn't. Mm-mm. Whatever. That was actually kind of disappointing to me. I wanted that to be a bigger deal. I wanted that to represent, like, a larger segment of what I consider to be really good games. I certainly thought that gamescapes in general would become, you know, larger, more complex environments, not stupid little Duplo block environments,
mm-hmm.
with absolutely no
same hallway after same hallway.
It's gotten. I can't believe we regressed so much in that way. I don't get it, but I didn't expect that. I mean, I guess we should have if we thought enough about it. We knew that consoles were eating the games industry. We knew that that's where the money was, and that that's where everyone was going to go. We just didn't really think about the limitations so much, and maybe we should have. Maybe we'd have enjoyed our time a lot more while we had it.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe I would have understood how important Planescape Torment would be one day, or Fallout 2.
Is it a sense of you don't know what you got till it's gone type of thing? Where?
No, it's more a question of It's not, well, I mean, I guess obviously it is, but it's really about how can you be in love with video games without being a little bit of a futurist?
Yeah.
You know, we've been taught to expect development and redefinition of what everything is going to be. We've been taught to look forward 6 months, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, like, into the future of technology. Mm-hmm. Because apparently what we love is based entirely on the ability for technology to change over time.
What we've got at that moment.
And so that's what you do. And you look at something, and it's very hard to look at a game without noticing all of its flaws and thinking about how, well, it'll all be better in the future. In the future, this stuff won't happen. You know, the future is going to fix everything. And it not only does the future not fix everything, it fucks about half of all of your shit up completely.
It's a lot of talk about potential.
Of course, yeah. The potential's definitely there, but it's not going to be realized because it's not really in anyone's best interest to do it. And maybe if things weren't so expensive, maybe if we were less concerned with the parts of our games that make them expensive, you know? Yeah. It's one of the reasons that I've grown so angry at the, you know, I always hear in my head the, if it's not Scottish, it's crap mantra. Because that's like, that's the way that I understand all these people to be. If you really look at, like, some of the very transparent psychology in what people say about games, for the most part, they're concerned with the best thing. Something has to be the best. The most extreme, the most outlandish, the best looking, the fastest, the biggest, the strongest. And if it isn't, it's a piece of shit. It's not just not the fastest or the best, it's a piece of shit. That thing sucks because this thing is better. That fucking pisses me off. I want to get into a goddamn ring with someone every time I see it. I really do. Because it's one of the most destructive comments you can make. Because it makes people want to compete, you know? It makes people want to say, well, okay, then, you know, nobody jumps up to defend something that's supposedly second best. Everybody really identifies with the idea that this thing is the best, and you have to have this thing, and if you don't have that thing, you're a fucking idiot. Well, there's plenty of fucking idiots going around, but douchebag. It's not people who defend the second best.
Yeah.
And I think all of that discourse and all of that discussion, the weight of 20 years of that kind of talk has taught us to expect that things have to improve in certain ways, and it's taught the people who make the things that we will only buy them if they improve in certain ways. Because we don't ever talk about certain parts of the quality that are harder to get your hands around, you know? We talk about graphics. I think graphics have put us in a bad, bad place. Because they're the most expensive, or at least have been historically, the most expensive part of games.
Yeah,
making a game.
Well, it's also, well, I mean, it's the fucking first thing you see. I mean, you know.
Yes, but it doesn't.
If it's like, hey, we've got a new title. Well, the first thing you see is how it looks.
Yeah, but that, it's not a question of making them. It's like, the problem is saying that they have to look so much better each time that something can't look better unless it's more complex or more powerful. Well, or
no,
like,
no, it doesn't have to look better. No,
like that's what I don't like. Like, it requires massive overhaul step by step. You can't take a step in a game without fundamentally changing how good it looks graphically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking horseshit. I still think World of Warcraft looks great. And one of the reasons it looks great is because it uses a butt-simple graphics engine, and it's all stylized. It's art. It's creativity and, like, human ingenuity that made it look so good. The fact that it still looks good after all this time.
Yeah.
Amazing what that shit will do when you let someone put their skills to work. You know? Why didn't I play Vanguard? Because someone was so obsessed with how the game looked that it ran like a fucking turd. And I wasn't about to fight that shit in order to play the game. But because you get so obsessed with how it has to look graphically, then you start causing problems. Well, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's a big, and it's a big deal. I'm not saying that that's, you know, like the end of the world or anything. I'm just saying it's a big deal. we're all obsessed with the wrong shit. And that's what gives the wrong people the ability to put their filthy fucking hands all over the things that we love. That's basically what I'm saying. Largely our fault. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck to do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah. The only thing you can ever do is buy games you like. You like the game, buy it.
Yeah.
Don't buy it used, buy it new. Buy it from a place that you like, buy it new. You like what these guys did, give them your money. It's the only thing you'll ever be able to do. So, preferably through digital delivery so that they get more of their own money.
Yeah.
You know? That's absolutely all I can think to do. And that's a stupid way to have to fight, but whatever.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
Because it really doesn't feel like you're doing anything.
No, but, you know, you're voting a few dollars, essentially.
Yeah.
Forum posts don't count, man. I don't, you
imagine
know.
Imagine if they did.
I don't care how good your kung fu is on the forums. Nobody gives a shit.
If it did, then, you know, lolcat.
We can all say everything that we want. Yeah. We can say everything
which,
that we
I
want.
I don't see
but
it. You know what? There. It'll probably happen. Another little, you know, phenomenon thing will take off, and somebody will be like, shit, we can make money off these stupid cat pictures with text. And let's put that shit on TV. America's Funniest Lolcat.
No, man. It would actually make a really, really good Flash in the Pan Adult Swim show.
Oh, yeah. And if anybody steals that idea, we've got the recording to prove that we had it first. We can't do shit about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Next week on Lolcats. Timmy rides an invisible bike. anyway. So, we were going to make this one short because you got things to do.
Yeah, we all got things to do. It's a good time to...
Hey, I talked to Bobby Blackwolf over at All Games Radio, and he is... We're running the full show now.
Oh, yeah?
After really?
Content, everything else.
Nice.
All we're going to be running. Very
nice.
Starting with this episode. So, hey, everybody listening to us from All Games Radio.
Thanks a lot. We're just totally making this shit up as we go along. I don't know what the fuck we're saying.
Yeah, we really are.
I think everybody else knows what they're saying. I'm completely making it up. I'm living like 2 seconds in my own future here, just trying to make sure that I say something that's even remotely interesting. Not as funny as Scott falling out of his chair, though.
That was
almost
good.
That was almost funny. Yeah. That was almost really good.
All right, let's go away.
Okay.